Hello and welcome to Marketing Beats, Marketing Bites, your go-to podcast for the latest tasty nuggets from the wonderful world of marketing. My name's Morag Cudiford-Jones, I'm a journalist and contributor to Marketing Beat, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, we're looking at AI in the everyday. That's right, you heard right, AI as an everyday companion for everyday marketing. No hyperbole, no here's what AI could theoretically do at some undefined point in the future, but simply what it can help you do today. So to help us in our quest for the quotidian, I'm joined today by two stars of search, Dan Roberts, Head of Search and Programmatic at Assembly Global, and Tina Aird, Growth Advertising Lead for Microsoft Advertising. We're going to get into how AI is changing search, how it's helping guide consumers towards faster, more accurate decision-making, as well as opening up their horizons to new experiences. We'll look at how AI can take over the strain from the mental gymnastics consumers have to perform to get the best price, most sustainable product, the best reviewed, and so on. Then we'll really get into how it's going to refine your marketing and all that good stuff with personalization and optimization. And let's face it, making your budget go further and better. Then we'll round off with making marketers' lives easier, otherwise known as optimizing workflows and speeding up that campaign creation and deployment. Maybe ending with a little bit of crystal ball gazing, but nothing too outrageous, because we've ditched the hyperbole, remember? So we are going to kick right off. First up, big question. How is AI changing the customer's search journey? Tina, hello. I think we're going to come to you first with this one.
Great. Thank you, Morag. Well, chat is really an evolution and an extension of what we've traditionally seen around search. When we look at the top tasks that people use for Copilot, primarily used for discovery, research, answering questions, finding sources of information, but even translating languages. But this is an evolution. We're bringing search problems to generative AI tools and engaging in a different way and giving consumers what they actually want. So it understands complex queries and it creates information and drives really incredible experiences. Chat basically now just allows users to get what they need and much, much faster.
So Dan, what's your experience speaking for the advertisers?
When I think about how AI is changing the customer search journey, I think of AI as much more around, much more than just generative search. I think generative has made our interactions with AI a lot more tangible and ultimately a lot more accessible, and that's now become synonymous with this whole area. But when I think about how it's changing the journey for a customer, I think generative AI is what's helping play this crucial role in making search just so much more like multimodal in the way that it's working, and it's ultimately now bringing that to a reality. I think for years we've talked about things like mobile and voice search and all these kind of elements of how AI is enabling those search experiences. They've all been somewhat fragmented, and I think now what we're seeing is how AI is bringing all of that together into one unified search experience for the customer. So I think a really good example of that is how Google Lens and Perplexity is now able to use your camera to be able to search for products or translations or whatever you need. In Microsoft, we've got OpenAI's GPT powering the new Bing in the Copilot experience that Tina spoke about. And for advertisers, it's helping us to do so much more in terms of helping us to make the right decisions at the auction time level, depending on the signals and everything that we feed in. So I think our experiences with search is clearly evolving and is being accelerated through AI. I think whereas before the search experience was around searching for the answers yourselves, I think now what you're seeing with what Tina was talking about is how the new Bing or Open and Copilot is effectively enabling search to become more of an answer engine, and it brings the answer to the customer in a more seamless and intuitive way, which can bring really exciting opportunities for our partners, but also for advertisers and businesses that we work with. but also the ads experiences as well. There's some really exciting stuff that's coming out of Microsoft and the experience there that I've seen and helped the engineering team there kind of build and kind of bounce around ideas.
This is the thing, the whole idea of it being an answer engine rather than a search engine, it's changing the whole dynamic of the way information is being brought to consumers and then the actions consumers then take based on that information. And while there are endless opportunities, I'm sure, for advertisers, it can also be a bit risky. You fed them the answer. They don't need to continue that journey through your website. So it's clearly improving on previous experiences for consumers. But what does that mean for advertisers, Dan? What are they having to do?
It is risky. I think they're having to evolve the way that we do things, the way that we've thought about how we operate, but also how consumers are therefore going to interact with their clients' brands moving forward. So I think that if we look at how advertisers used to operate in a search ads world, I think actually, to be honest, we look at the old days a bit too nostalgically, I think through rose-tinted eyes. I think when I look back at my 13 years in search, I cringe sometimes at the amount of hours I've wasted on certain tasks or certain things that I've done that I wish AI could have helped me with back then. An example of that might be how we used to just hyper-segment campaigns by device or to try and control the messaging that we were serving to customers at that point. And I think all of what it really comes down to is the fact that as advertisers, I think we love the control. It's the control that we inevitably have to relinquish a bit if you want AI to work better for you. And that, I think, then combined with the lack of transparency that some of these what you might call black box campaign types give us, but also the kind of the wider shifts that we're seeing towards data privacy and the walled gardens, I think it's creating this fear around us and them, or human versus robot, or advertiser versus AI. And I think the reality really is that this stuff is happening. There are inevitable truths that we have to face, and we just have to understand how to navigate those as advertisers. And I think what is clear now, and I think I find this quite therapeutic really for me personally, is just understanding that AI is just now a fundamental part of the whole search experience, both for the advertiser and the customer. It's faster, it's easier, it's more intuitive. But I think it's ultimately a good thing for everyone. It means that we have to shift the way that we do things. We have to learn new skills. We have to evolve. And I think if you do that, you can mitigate the risks. You can still gain the controls, just the controls them in a different way.
Tina, just looking at what the realm of the possible in this, advertisers are really going to have to adapt to what consumers have wanted. And one of the key things, I think, is it's a busy world. We have to acknowledge that as a brand, there are other brands who do what we do, and consumers are looking for stuff. This is where AI can step in. I mentioned those mental gymnastics earlier. Is the green beans from Kenya more sustainable than the hothouse ones raised from Surrey and all this stuff? That's where AI can really step in, and that's where brands need to lean in, isn't it?
And so I think generative AI generally, and obviously I speak with Copilot in mind, it makes it really easy to summarize a lot of that information, and it helps everyone make those quick answers. And that's what I mean when I said at the beginning that it's giving them the information that they actually want. So you don't have to filter through all the other ads or choices that perhaps were given to you in traditional search. And then I think from an enhanced personalization point of view, we have intent data. So a lot of the advertising that's shown to consumers is more relevant. It then becomes more enjoyable. But we've also formed partnerships with Snapchat, as an example, where we've integrated AI technology into Snapchat's My AI chatbot. So again, that brings a more interactive, more personalized conversations to people who are using Snapchat. And then the same with Axel Springer, which is another partnership that we've formed. And so this is another way for them to think about more informative news that's really appropriate for that particular user. And so it's just that more personalized approach that is what consumers are craving for, and generative AI can bring that to them.
So that personalized approach, it's also changing how marketers are able to then inform future campaigns and then optimize. So before, you had search and you knew what customers had clicked on, but not necessarily what they hadn't, what they discarded, what they didn't like. And also adding in this visual element. For me, for example, I see a garden shed. We have all those old tales of people ordering these things that they think are huge sofas off eBay, and they end up one that belongs to Sylvanian families and is the size of your thumb. But we learn, we are now able to learn that consumers are seeing that. They're seeing an image and they're not trusting it. They're going, I don't know if that's a real representation of it or not. All this information is flowing back to us. We don't have to proactively ask for it. If we're now moving on, let's say we've twigged, we've got how generative AI can start to answer consumers' more natural needs. How can we then use it to optimize that, make it so much better? Dan, what can we do here to understand all this information that these ads are bringing back to us?
I think the first place to start is to understand that in my opinion, we're no longer marketing to customers. We are marketing to the AI that is then marketing to the customer. There's a bit of a shift in mindset. So I think to your point earlier around personalization, what we're seeing now is before you could guess what a search result could look like for a particular search query and what maybe results would pop up. Now, every search and every result that you get because of generative AI and Copilot will be different than if I was to do that for the same search query. So if Morag, you were to search the same thing as I would, you'd probably get a slightly different result and maybe different citation, different ads that might pop up into that space. And whilst there is, I guess, a single answer to it, to a question, taking all the kind of contextual signals and all that information that AI is now able to gather, you will get a more personalized experience. So that, again, creates challenges for how we then optimize campaigns for the future. But I think the way that I've been setting up our teams at Assembly and our products and services this year is around thinking about what we now do as inputs and outputs. So breaking the kind of complexity down into those two spaces just helps us understand our role within that. So really, our role is to now have a deep understanding of how AI works so that we can then influence the decisions that it makes. So we do that really through guiding AI with inputs, which then improves the propensity modeling within the AI's decision making to deliver better outputs. And it's this iterative process that means that we're constantly tweaking and optimizing and improving those inputs to deliver better outputs in terms of business performance. Yeah, everything that we do is centered around those things. And I think once you start to do that and structure your teams in that right way, that's then how you can then optimize for AI-powered advertising campaigns.
From my perspective, obviously we're doing, as I mentioned before, we're enhancing the Copilot experience, and we've brought it into our platform as well to really help advertisers be more efficient. They're strapped for time, and especially with small, medium businesses, they often have cost challenges and skill shortages. AI and Copilot specifically, we're really trying to solve all of those issues by helping them. And it just helps them get more done. It does boost productivity from a marketing internal point of view. Advertisers who work with us, and I know that our competitors offer something as well. With Copilot, you can automate ad content, you can create ad copy, create visuals. And so it just drives a huge amount of efficiency, which means that you can really focus on the checking to in terms of optimizing your campaign.
Performance Max is a really good example, actually, of what I was discussing earlier about inputs and outputs. So to Tina's point, you input the assets, the signals, the goals that you're trying to achieve, the budget, the settings. That's where the control comes from now for advertisers. And then you let the kind of AI optimize and deliver and serve those ads where it needs to deliver the goal. And then over time, you can then experiment, right? So then you tweak those outputs and, okay, we're achieving the objective. What more can we do? let's, I don't know, add in more assets, more different kinds of assets, different formats. And that's really how you optimize in this new world. Yeah.
If you're going to forgive my very stretched metaphors and analogies, it strikes me like it is the Willy Wonka of marketing tech. It's the everlasting gobstopper of campaign optimization. Now, the problem lies, and there are worse problems to have if you've got something that can sit there and give you lots of information, automatically delve into the trends that you never even knew were possible. But like the proverbial Augustus Gloop in the candy store, there is only so much candy you can eat. And at some point, you should stop eating that candy. It's not, law of diminishing returns is not going to get any sweeter. How the possibilities for optimization that is AI powered could be endless. But this is not all tech driven. There are humans at the start, there are humans at the end, and there is only so much difference you can make ultimately. How deep should you go? And I'm aware this is the how long is a piece of string question, but what's best practice when it comes to optimization?
We need to remember that AI is just a tool. That humans still need to be in control. And I think that's really important for all marketers to remember that. In Cannes, we talked about AI is not creative, you are. And we were talking to creatives at the time. But I think that's really important to remember that it is just a tool. And so having that human lens to it is still really important.
Absolutely.
Dan, would you add anything?
Yeah, I think completely agreed. I think one thing that is really dangerous to do in this space is to almost like, from an advertiser perspective, is to think that you set the campaigns up and you forget about them. It's really easy to do that when you've got AI at the heart of all of the decision making there. So one thing we always try and bed in to our processes is just a really clear QA process at every stage, both kind of pre and post campaign. Because whilst we are, to my points earlier, relinquishing some of the control that maybe we once had to AI in campaign decision making optimizations, that does not mean that you absolve responsibility. You still have the control to turn off a campaign or to understand some of the decisions that it's making and where it's serving those ads. And you can still exclude placements and everything. There are still quite a lot of, and this has got better over the past couple of years, but around brand safety and kind of controls in place. So I think my kind of advice here for best practice would be around just you have a process for governance, whether that's through some sort of alert system or reporting, or you're using either in-platform tools and tech within Microsoft or Copilot or any third-party bits of tech as well. Like, all these things need to form a part of your solutions for governance, and that's vital in this new world. Because I think a large part of that is just being able to understand like what's happening in decision-making inside the black box. And for me, one of the key areas of focus for us to be able to understand what's happening is just really structured experimentation. Not only will that help you try and understand and see what's happening inside the black box, but then you can quickly determine by doing X, you expect to see Y. So we do this at scale across the agency, and it really then forms part of our best practices for every campaign and every client moving forward. A really good example of that is how we now understand through our experimentation that using clients' first-party data in Performance Max will significantly improve performance on the back end, so those outputs. And we now know that definitively using things like customer match lists will significantly influence the signals and the decision-making. So it now then forms part of our best practices. That experimentation then helped us understand what was happening inside the black box, which signals and inputs that we could influence to deliver better outputs. And I think that through really robust experimentation, really structured governance, you can then combine those to make sure that you have control and that you're delivering campaigns to Tina's points in an ethical way, and that you're following responsible AI best practices, and that you're developing your own solutions to those challenges as well.
Yeah, it definitely sounds to me as though you can put this tech into action, but campaigns going wrong or not hitting the targets they want to, or as you said, generating ethical concerns, It's not enough to say the tech made me do it. You need to look at what the tech made you do. Inside that black box, you don't necessarily need to know what's going on inside that black box. You need to understand what came out of it and whether or not it's appropriate. So moving on then into how companies know how to use AI. There is so much interest around it. I said at the start, we're not going to get into hyperbole. We're not going to get into AI could do all these wonderful things and send Elon Musk up into space and all that stuff. But there is a gulf.
I wish we could send him up into space.
We'll make
another,
sure
another podcast.
we'll stick with Starlink for the time being. Maybe there's just going to be a whole busload of people that we can send to space eventually. But right now, understanding what AI can do, there's a certain frustration I feel, and I feel it in myself as a writer. I use Copilot. It's great for finding me sources. It's great for getting me started on things. I know it can do so much more to help me create better outputs, but I'm not entirely sure how. And it seems to be extrapolated across the marketing industry in general. We know it has massive potential, but how do we unlock it? And so how big is that gap really? Are we all just sitting there looking at this big deep thought computer? If anyone's a fan of Douglas Adams, they'll know what I'm referring to. Looking at this huge computer and going, we know there's something in there. We just don't quite know how to access it. So how much is that a problem and what can we do to really break in there?
So you're right. Look, there's huge excitement about generative AI. It's been the talk of the town for the last couple of years. And however, many businesses still lack vision on how to implement it. So we partnered with LinkedIn on a report called the Work Trend Index Report, which surveyed 30,000 full-time and self-employed workers across multiple markets. And what one of the things that came up in there, which I found really interesting, is that nearly 80% of the executives, they recognize the need for AI, yet a large proportion of those, 60% of those, lack a concrete AI plan. That's huge. As an industry, we can help resolve over the years or the next 6 months. But in the absence of this, what we've also seen is that 80% of AI users bring their own AI tools to work. And that is quite concerning. I believe that's higher with small, medium businesses as well. But I find it quite concerning because it comes back to the point we were talking about earlier around security and privacy. And I think it shows some huge risks that potentially are afoot for some of those businesses. I believe this trend is called shadow AI. That is what people are bringing, are doing. They're trying to find their own solutions. So I think the skill set and the training is really important for all businesses to be aware of. And in my opinion, it needs to come from the top. It needs to be embedded across the whole organization to make sure that this is the vision, this is the plan that people need to follow. And why? What is it going to do to their bottom line? What is it going to do to their business? How is it going to drive them forward? They need to have a plan on how to drive that excitement and that passion internally, on how it's going to change their business. And it might be in how they show up externally, but also internally. It really does drive a lot of productivity. If you think about how, to your point, Morag, like how you use AI to create emails or sum up meetings that you can't attend. I work in a global team, and there are calls all through the night, and I love my sleep. And so I miss a lot of them. And so I use AI the next day to sum up what happened the day before on particular meetings that I think would be of interest to me. And so there's lots of elements to it. My view is that the businesses need to get on board, because if they don't, they will miss out. And that could be detrimental to their business as well.
And Dan, your view on this from your side?
Yeah, I think because there's been such an explosion in AI, it's moved so quickly over the past few years. It's been really difficult, especially at the start of the kind of generative AI explosion, to keep up. And I think that has been combined with what I was talking about earlier around this skepticism around just the topic in general, particularly around like in the earlier days where there was a lot of the output from generative AI in particular was a hallucination. I think the dust has settled there. I think people are now starting to understand the implications. It's not at a point where it's going to take over the world just yet. And then that's then meant that people have had time to play around with it and to experiment and then understand where it fits within their business. And I think initially there was a gap. Some businesses that were potentially a lot more agile to react to that and were potentially set up to be able to understand that a bit quicker, have been able to get ahead and adopt certain elements and now start to see that come through every element of their business. And then some are definitely playing catch up, but I'd say that it's starting to balance. But I think it requires every part of a business to understand the impact of it from the wider business perspective, societal and economic as well, but also for them day to day. What does it mean for them? How can they operate more effectively, more efficiently? I think now we're starting to understand that. Something that we're doing is just going through lots of like cloud training. We're rebuilding our products from the ground up to make sure AI can then form part of every part of our workflows. And I think that's really helping everything that we're doing, both for us internally, but also for our clients in terms of our output as well.
It's a really interesting change in perspective, I think, from the organization, insofar as we always see leadership being told, don't focus on the nuts and bolts. You're the strategic leads. You're the ones who employ the experts to get on and do that. You don't necessarily need to see how the sausage is made. Just know that you're making great sausages. But this really is something that, at least initially, they have to take an interest in. You need to know the tech your teams are using so there isn't this shadow AI going on. You need to know what they're using it for, whether they're capable, whether they have the right tech. There's a lot more to get in the weeds, certainly at this initial stage. So, just talking a little bit before we start to wrap up, some actionable thoughts on how company cultures can adapt to using AI in terms of internally. Making sure that teams can use it, improving those workflows, improving that culture and skills, but also working with their partners. And if companies are lagging behind and worried that they're going to get overtaken, people are using it now. Not using it, not an option. What do they do now to make sure they're not left behind?
Great question. Dan, you mentioned earlier that it's AI is only as good as what you put into it. And I think that's really important. And from a company point of view and an action that I think many companies should potentially look at and invest time in is creating prompt engineers from their employees. So really helping those employees understand how to generate the best prompts. And by doing that and investing skills and time into that from a training point of view, they can use AI to the best ability that they can internally, but also how they apply those prompts to their advertising and think about leveraging all of the tools that are available to them with partners like Microsoft. And so, in order to sort of develop a point prompt, they need to think about what is the task, the goal that they want the prompt to achieve. The role of who and what this person is doing. Are they a marketer? Are they working in HR? And then the context and the of the situation, and perhaps if it's an advertising prompt, so the ad format that they want to consider, the audience that they're trying to address or email. And then they can also reference, you can also reference any sources that you want to be considered as part of your prompt. And then the tone, is this supposed to be jovial, what is the emotion you're looking to portray? And so that idea of creating prompt engineers across your business, I think, is really important. And that should be the starting point for really getting the most out of AI in any work that you do.
Yeah,
That would
agreed
be
with
my
Tina there, I think. But we're actually building an academy dedicated to trying to build these prompt engineers of the future. So it's going to be like a really intensive 12-week program where we go from everything from the fundamentals of search, because we still think like some of the skills that we have learned to date around understanding the auction dynamics, things like quality scores, etc., in search are still vital for being able to optimize campaigns in the future. But what's different is maybe the kind of skill sets that we are looking for now. And to Tina's point earlier, it's about finding the foundational kind of fundamental elements of what makes a good prompt engineer. And what we're doing is trying to find those people, take them through a really intensive program, and working with partners such as Microsoft to help build that as well, so they can ultimately thrive in this new world. So I think I would encourage everyone to understand what those skills mean for them and their businesses, and to try and build a program that then nurtures what you need for the future, because I think that's how we'll be able to stop this gap that we talked about earlier in the kind of the wider industry, but then also find what we need business moving forward for our clients.
It's sadly coming to the end of our podcast, where we have covered an awful lot of ground. And I did promise right up front there would be no transformational hyperbole and looking into the big old wide world of where we could be in AI in 20 years' time. But we are going to take a little squint at the crystal ball to finish off with. And with all that promise out there that we have, what do you hope really is going to be realized by the ad industry? One thing that leaders in the room can do right now to really say that they've, cliche alert, moved the needle and go to their next big board meeting and go, hey, you know what, guys? This AI stuff actually works, actually does something. Whoop.
It's really important for businesses to know that AI is not here to take people's jobs. It's to enhance it and to enhance everybody's abilities. From an advertising point of view, of course, we want people to leverage Copilot so that they can get the most out of their advertising. And for me, that's by driving business results for that business, that company, that advertiser. And so I want people to be successful in how they are leveraging AI, but it needs to be part of everybody's daily routines. And so what I would ask is that people really just test it, practice, just keep it, think about how does AI form a place in everybody's daily routines. And even by doing that, then you can apply it to the work that you do. And I think that's really important. And through that, we're just going to see the growth of businesses because the amount of productivity that they're driving will go through the roof. And that's surely going to be a good thing for everybody. But I really stress AI is not here to take people's jobs. We need that human element to make sure that AI stays responsible and ethical. And it's just really important as it grows, as it learns, that we have that human element so that we can drive in the right impact in the right places.
And Dan, a last word from you.
You have to experiment. It's the only way that you can get ahead. If you think about what AI is doing, it's leveling the playing field for everyone. It's making it more accessible. We've talked about accessibility throughout the whole podcast, and for advertisers and leaders of businesses, it's now easier to access and gain and get your ads served on the search results page, and to ultimately deliver your objective. But what's going to get you ahead is experimentation. That's your secret sauce, and how you work out what you stand for moving forward. So that's how you develop your own best practices, your own formula for working with AI in the future. So my one action is to experiment.
Fantastic. Experiment we shall. We have come to the end of our Everyday AI for Everyday Marketing podcast. I just want to say thank you to Dan, Head of Search and Programmatic Assembly Global, and Tina, Growth Advertising Lead from Microsoft Advertising, for sharing their wonderful insights. Just remains to me to say thank you for listening, and I hope you will join us again on another Marketing Beat podcast.